there, he makes a mistake here in the reading of the speech that I think will be apparent when we get to it.
Madam Speaker, another concern relates to expectations. One of the dangers associated with creating advocacy offices is that citizens often develop expectations that exceed the powers actually granted to those offices. Here's a more natural flowing version of that section that reads like a legislative speech rather than a series of short points.
No!
Madam Speaker, one of my concerns with this legislation is the potential gap between what New Brunswickers may reasonably expect this office to accomplish and what the office will actually have the authority to do once it is established. When people hear that government...
Whoops.
Oh, man.
He doesn't miss a beat. He is on complete autopilot.
That's what you got to do, though. No, I think he, like...
Do you think he noticed?
Deep down, I think he noticed, and it's like, you do not show any wavering.
Right.
No one will notice. Everyone's asleep. There's no one watching this.
Right.
I'm the progressive conservative. People don't even know I exist down in the States.
Yeah. Just keep it moving. Keep it moving, man.
But I've seen a few things like this happen before. I know there's, I can't remember which politician it was, but I think like upstate was talking about, I pledge never to use AI for my legislative speeches. I would bet it's something like 3/4 across legislatures, what from like the House of Commons to like Wyoming state legislature.
Yeah.
I guarantee all the aides are all generating this stuff with ChatGPT now.
Yes. You know what it reminded me of? It's remember when Biden, when he was trying to convince everybody that, you know, he still had it. He was like, repeat the line. Remember he read the teleprompter
and said, I don't remember that.
Repeat the line. No. But that was prior, like that is more... That's more defensible, I guess, than saying, I don't know which is worse. The fact that this is an AI prompt, though, this falls on the staff that included this.
Yeah, exactly.
It's laziness versus dementia.
Exactly.
So I mean, I don't know.
Right.
But, it shows how the sausage is made. Here's this.
It is noteworthy that the percentage of women who registered to vote and cast a ballot is consistently higher than the percentage of the men who do so. End of quote. Repeat the line.
Put it up.
Women are not without electoral and or...
Because we didn't have it up here. This part, no, it's all good.
Percentage of the men who do so. End of quote. Then the percentage of the men who do so. End of quote. Repeat the line. Women are not without electoral and or...
God, that was...
One that more one. Time!
And you know what that was?
Repeat the line.
You know what that was after? Repeat... Yeah, man. You got this. That was after the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade.
Oh, my God.
That's why our response to it was so vigorous. Huh?
Yeah. Okay, so that wasn't even... I thought that was the repeat the line thing was more recent when he was really ailing after the debate. No, it was just in the middle of his term as well. So
almost as if the signs were there.
Almost as if the signs were there, exactly. Dang. I mean, honestly, there should be regulations, and this should not be allowed to be used in government, but
that's going to be like taking somebody off of a very addictive substance at
exactly.
this point for I think the staffers that write these sorts of speeches
yes.
and whose jobs it's been to produce this sort of text beforehand.
Probably going to be a lot easier to sneak things into legislation too, because everybody's just going to be using summaries for everything.
Well, that's something I can get behind. Sneaking in good things into legislation without them noticing. Yeah. No, not so adventurous. It is funny that how these conservatives who love to talk like libertarians are fine with some intervention when they benefit. Money for their car company? Great idea. I'll benefit the country to develop this industry. Science is political. Anna Paulina Luna has literally left the AI prompts in official government documents. Of course she has.
I mean, it's crazy. Like, the lack of concern... And how lazy, I don't know.
It's
really
also
shocking.
Like, you know, the lack of desire to have some sort of like actual comprehensive, like, to have reading comprehension, to be able to grasp larger concepts that can't be solved with summaries. I mean, we learn this in school with Cliff Notes.
You're a lawmaker in any country, like, let alone the United States, but like, if you were like Czechia,
yeah,
like, you should. To like submit something and you haven't like looked over it, like, especially because, like, a lot of these people come from law backgrounds. Like, what do you do besides read these sort of documents? Isn't that supposed to be your main competency? I don't know where Anna Plenaluna comes from, but...
Yeah. Shapeshifter, Trump. Most people don't care about Ghostbusters 2016 being woke feminist trash, but I care.
If you cared, you would have laughed.
Some guy says, Trump can't deliver a punchline through the fog of dementia. His rambling explanations get in the way. Not Nick Fuentes says, the Trump comedy part of the White House Correspondents' Dinner was just him channeling his inner German part, despite being a germaphobe. My comedy skills are horrible, but not as horrible as him bombing at that dinner. Olivia Rheingold wrote these jokes for Donald Trump. Crimes?
That's a good...
Yeah. Carolina Commie, poor Tony Hinchcliffe. He sacrificed his career making MAGA jokes for the election so he could get this correspondent dinner speech writing job, and now Trump is bombing with his perfectly crafted jokes.
He fucked up my Dylan Mulvaney bit.
I mean, did Hinchcliffe really fuck his career up?
Yeah.
Did who?
Hinchcliffe really fuck his
career up? No, he didn't have a career until that happened.
He was always just kind of bottom feeder.
No, that made his career.
What was he going to do? Like, do some very respected specials?
Yeah, right.
Write on the same shitty roast I used to write on?
Yeah.
Oh, like those other losers?
Julio, unfortunately, in Alabama, says, shout out to Caitlin Collins, who's from my state. She seems cool, but definitely giving centrist vibes. I don't blame her too much since she's from Alabama.
She's from the Daily Caller, so...
Yeah, but I don't
she's
really...
a journalist.
I don't care, you know, what... If you're holding the administration accountable, and I think that the way she's done it has been good. When I hear her interviews, I don't, like, have these, like, glaring reactions, like when Jake Tapper does it on CNN, and it's like, this is the most biased question I've ever heard in my fucking life. Like, you know, for the most part, she
seems to respect herself as a journalist.
Can see, like, what the storyline is.
Also, like, yeah, that's the thing about journalists is, like, it's almost kind of inappropriate to peg them as either, like, progressive or centrist or... Like, I think the main question is just don't be, like, beholden to, like, Israeli nationalism would be, an objective as much as you can.
Hey, Trey says, it was amazing to see these journalists winning awards for their work on Trump diddling kids. And they just go shake his hand and smile. Insane.
And also, no one's, like, it is a little bit weird to be given awards for this stuff. No one's been locked up in this country. In other countries, there have been. Even royals have been taken down by this. And where has who's paid any consequence except, like, Warren Buffett isn't going to give as much to the Gates Foundation anymore. Like,
and Larry Summers in his, you know, retirement years can't teach at Harvard anymore.
And he can't be on the Center for American Progress.
Oh, no. What will Neera do without her buddy?
Tweet, probably.
No. What? I mean, to be honest, it's amazing that even, like, I use Twitter so much less than I used to, and that, the Elon bot takeover has not really deterred Neera from continuing to post at an unbelievable clip. Even not getting a Senate not being able to be confirmed for some low-level position that Biden was trying to give her in his term, she had to step aside because her tweets were too controversial, and she's still posting.
She retweeted Nick Fuentes saying, like, I'm done with Republicans.
I thought she said that Hassan was the same as Nick Fuentes.
Yeah, well.
Well, but she likes Nick Fuentes, I guess, more.
Saying good things about Democrats.
Well, true. Pasta Passport, Donald Trump at the Correspondents' Dinner. Is this thing on? Chris Burdick, we need to get back to those classy White House correspondence dinners, like the one where Colin Jost called Joe Biden a good and kind man at the height of Biden sponsoring a genocide. Colin Jost is horrible. I mean, sorry. He's just, I think, pretty awful. Yeah. Sorry.
Wow, so diplomatic.
I want to correct.
Way to walk it back.
I'm realizing how many people watch our show now.
I know. Some people watch our show that might be offended by that. I'm sorry. I don't get the
appeal.
It was
easier when we just had like 50,000 subscribers.
Exactly.
Say whatever you want.
Exactly. Sorry.
I think he does a fine job.
He's not horrible. He's just awful. Noah from Tampa. He laughed when he was hanging out with Jake Paul. Trump did. Yes. Yes. I remember that. Yes.
What did Paul do?
I forget. Just like was a man in his orbit.
Take his shirt off.
Probably. McCarnation Revolution says MR Carnation Revolution. Don't forget about Olivia Rangel posting the phone camera at herself instead of the unfolding scene. Right. I forgot.
That was a great one too.
Yes.
So many good moments at that.
I know.
That was actually very good.
Yes.
Look what's happening to me.
That is what the influencer style of journalism is like right now on the right.
Give my facial reactions to this.
Yeah. Yes. Let's do 9. Fox News is really going, you know, all hands on deck here about the greatest threat that this country faces, and that is New Jersey's own Hassan Piker. Many people are saying that New Jersey is the breeding ground for terrorism in this country, and that's part of where I got radicalized, obviously, in New Jersey. And same here with Hassan. The reason I'm bringing that up is because they open with his birthplace as if we're, like, talking about some historical,
we deport him?
This literally reads exactly, well, there you go. To be honest, my brain hadn't gotten to the racism part yet.
Why have we deported him? Oh.
It's just like it's almost like they're reading through his Wikipedia. Like, why is it relevant that he's from New Jersey and you've just solved it? But anyway, here is Fox News over the weekend with their important story, The Rise of Hassan Piker.
Let's take a look. Hassan Piker is born in New Jersey to Turkish parents, but raised in Istanbul. He has family ties. You'll recognize this guy.
Wait, look how close New Jersey is to Turkey. I've never
that's
noticed.
My favorite.
The Jersey Shores of Tripoli.
That border secure?
I mean, Eric Adams says that it's the Turkey of America, I guess. You'll know, this is my favorite too, where they go, you'll know this guy, and then he totally mispronounces Cenk's name. You'll know this guy, right?
The household name.
The nursing home people watching this in the middle of the day are like,
Yeah, I know him.
Yeah.
Family ties, you'll recognize this guy. He entered political media as the Young Turks co-founder's nephew. That's Cenk Uygur, who you remember very much following in the footsteps.
You don't.
Hassan Piker starts building an online empire, turning his daily stream that everybody from Rokana to Abdul El-Sayed.
So this is, I just want to say, this is a minute and change. You didn't have time to look up the pronunciation of the one proper noun that you didn't know how to pronounce?
I mean, I think that they do this all the time with any name that is foreign. Like, they're trying to disparage people. It's why they still don't pronounce Zoran Mamdani's name correctly.
Yeah, Ruben goes crazy on Zoran's name. Zahran?
I don't know enough about this Fox News guy, except that he interviewed Grace Mauser recently of DSA. So he's on this anti-DSA beat for Fox on the weekends.
He's catching up, old man.
But I do just love how he has the preface of, you'll know this guy. I clearly don't, though.
I've never heard of him in my life. Yeah. What's this, YouTube? What's that?
Right. And the audience that is watching this definitely doesn't know who Hassan or Cenk are.
Or Cenk Uygur.
Or Cenk. Yeah. Either of those three. Any of those three. I find it interesting that Fox is even bothering to demonize Hassan, but we'll continue now.
That everybody from Rokana to Abdul El-Sayed wants to be on, AOC, and he turned these live streams into an audience of 10 million followers, part of why he is so front and center as a voice of young Democrats. His political access with major progressive stars appear on his show. They're literally like, it's like Joe Rogan trying to get on his show if you are a far left progressive Democrat.
Joe Rogan at the left.
Though, oh, now I get it.
Be denied. He's called religious Jews inbred, defended Hamas, continues to do that, and apologized.
Okay. He called the Israeli settlers inbred, and I'm sorry. Take a look at these freaks that are abusing Palestinians and torching their homes on the West Bank, and tell me that they don't look inbred. Like,
it's deliverance.
The Trumps look inbred, too, gotta say. I mean, I think Eric Trump,
yeah, I think
a little bit of a vibe. We can make fun of people for looking inbred, and it doesn't just have to do with their Judaism.
I would say it's, borderline slanders to say he called all religious Jewish people inbred.
He called the deranged settlers that are on video looking. I mean, with
wasn't
buck
it someone
teeth.
In his chat? Like, yeah, it was. I can't remember. But I thought it was. I've seen a clip where it's like someone in his chat that was defending like genocide.
But I do love that they have an addendum. They have an addendum to the America Deserved 9/11 piece, because like you may have already heard this one before, but we've also got this insult on Israeli settlers to throw at you.
And apologized after saying that America deserved 9/11. In the latest firestorm, addressed college Democrats in a Mao-style suit. Look at that. And it's interesting, guys, because just think the list.
It's the suit you can.
I mean, look, Hassan is dressing in that manner, right? And he's trying to.
It could
evoke...
be a Deng Xiaoping style suit.
I'm telling
or
you.
Or a Hillary Clinton.
It could be exactly. He is giving homage to the girl boss queen of the Democratic Party, Hillary Clinton.
Probably would have been scarier to this geriatric crowd
exactly.
if he said a Hillary style suit than Mao.
Right.
They're like, what? He's dressed like a cat? Mao?
It's kind of shocking because. To mention, like, just focus, like, no mention anything he said in the speech.
No. Just it's, focus on his attire.
He did it in this suit.
I know.
Look at what he was wearing.
I know. And you know what's funny is that Hassan has been consciously trying to wear, like, regular suits so that he knows.
He wears them on stream now.
When
yeah.
he goes on Fox News, he says, I know I'm going to get clipped and I don't want to scare these grandmas. So it's like the producers were like, we have an avenue around that. He wore the Hillary Clinton Mao suit to this speech and we are going to be able to show him in that. Don't play anything about what he said, though. It might make too much sense.
Yeah, also David Pakman did the exact same thing as Hassan gave the speech in that suit. And,
well, this is David Pakman said that?
Yeah, you want me to find it?
Fine.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm like it's actually quite instructive, honestly, to see how liberals are sounding exactly like Fox News. If this is like the road that he's going to go down here attacking the DSA left as it surges, I mean, I'm all for making fun of this because this is genuinely harmful.
Exactly at a time where the State Department is
trying to criminalize leftists. I mean, read Ken Klippenstein's reporting about this. It's astonishing.
Yeah.
Like they're doing McCarthyite blacklists. And this is one of the largest streamers who I think. Do you think it's a coincidence that David Pakman was contacted by Chorus? Remember when they were making fun of Taylor Lorenz's reporting on this? Has there been any refutation about that yet? Because I haven't seen anything that's legitimate about like their claims. They all cried and bitched about it. And now, shockingly, these same people are the ones that are the most anti-DSA folks who reportedly were in coordination with this company that was paying them for certain... services or whatever
for their content. Yeah, here we go.
Ugh.
The Democratic Party is showing the early signs of the same disease that destroyed the Republican Party. Republicans back in 2010,
you know, that Republican Party that's so destroyed right now.
Yeah, the one that is has continuously won over and over and over again.
Okay, and it's like passed its agenda, even items like abolishing Roe versus Wade that people thought they would never actually do anyway.
Yeah, I care if my party's politically effective, but I guess we just care if they're a little, he cares if they're a little uncouth or too close to populism or something
yeah.
like that.
Also, like, I don't want the Republicans, one thing I don't like the Republicans is how much they support Israel, but I don't think that's what we're talking about here. Anyway, let's just go.
You should go pose at the White House again with, yeah. with the guy committing genocide.
Yep. Not say anything. Say actually everything's fine. But anyway, okay. Here's a little bit more. He's got a finger to point.
I can't
and
wait.
Their leaders laughed at the Tea Party. The left and Democrats can't make the same mistake. There is a small group of far left extremists gaining influence inside youth groups and party organizations. There was a college Democrats convention, which I was actually invited to participate in, and I couldn't make it. Hassan Piker was dressed like Mao, and I guess Destiny tried to show up and he was banned from entering.
So Destiny's a creep and stalker, and that's why he wasn't allowed there. But yeah, like he focuses on Hassan's attire and then puts words in Hassan's mouth about like abolish the police, which Hassan is not a police abolitionist, and doesn't address anything. And then he recently appeared on Gavin Newsom's show too. So, but anyway, the point is this freak out is pretty widespread and it's pretty disgusting to see who's participating in it.
Is there more?
Yeah, we can do something.
I want to hear more about what I mean. Does he get beyond the sartorial critique?
He does this weird thing of not understanding why someone like Destiny, who has weird accusations about him in addition to like a rancid ideology. And
I didn't even know he was still like around and
neither
doing
did I
stuff.
Really. Yeah. And he wasn't allowed in this thing. And then let Pac-Man.
Okay. Allegedly because the Mao-dressed piker didn't want him there.
Mao-dressed
Republicans
piker?
Are going to put these clips everywhere.
So... Yeah, we'll play this a little bit more.
I just keep going. Yeah,
like,
this is annoying.
People seem crazy when they see this stuff. And they are going to take abolish the police and abolish borders and abolish prisons and play them on a loop for 6 months. Democrats must act now and intelligently. The centrists don't really do anything. Make very milquetoast fringe suggestions that you don't even really push for. Not working. Okay. This
Agreed.
Other thing of like end everything, it's a sort of destructive accelerationism, that's also not going to work. So I think that what we need here are no apologetics for dictatorship, no apologetics for authoritarianism, no harassment, no anti-Semitism, no allowing online factions to decide which liberals may enter the room. You know,
So this
would
is what's annoying.
Would
I even have an audience? Okay, actually, keep going. I'm sorry.
Been allowed at that college debt.
Would I even have been allowed at this? This is the
hysterical. I mean, like, this is a hysteria about being rendered a little bit irrelevant here. He's talking about Mallory McMorrow. No one wanted her. He's saying we need a third way between a candidate like Haley Stevens and the far left extremists. No one wanted a Mallory McMorrow.
But he
type.
Said he was invited to this thing. That he's complaining.
That's
would I have
so
been invited
this.
To this thing I was invited
you
to?
You were invited. Well,
yeah, it's like, would I have been allowed at this thing I was invited to but decided I had better things to do?
It's bizarre.
Because Destiny wasn't. Here's the thing. Well, I'm going to play it in a second. Let's just get through this.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Here. No, what? Would I even have been allowed at that college Democrats thing? They invited me months ago. I don't know. I mean, I couldn't go, so we didn't find out. I've said before, I've never been a Democrat. I don't care about the Democratic Party beyond who offers the better candidates, and usually it's Democrats over Republicans. But we've got to make sure that we don't allow that party, if it is the vessel, at least for now, to something better than what Republicans are offering, to be hijacked.
Okay. Hijacked by what? This is so vague and bizarre to me.
He never does get around to saying what they need to do besides not be anti-Semitic and apologetic for dictatorships. Should they be apologetic for genocide and
right.
apartheid, David, would be the thing that I would address. Because that's why Pac-Man in particular is throwing these kinds of words around. It's because he's actually fucked up. It isn't the other people that hypothetically might fuck up and do like Stalinist show trials in 10 years. I agree that if that happens, that would be bad, and I will try to stop that from happening. We're not, like AOC said, we can't pass the minimum wage. We're not close to communism. What is happening is ethnic cleansing with American bombs.
Yeah.
And Pac-Man was into the fucking White House to say everything's fine, actually. Don't listen to these fringe leftists too much. And now he needs to have his own finger to point because otherwise he's uncomfortable. He was on Gavin Newsom saying people are purity testing me out. People have a problem with positions you have taken, David, and you don't want to address them.
Right. And even if you want to say in this cold-blooded way, I don't care about the genocide in Gaza, I don't care about the ethnic cleansing campaign. The reality is that it was a bad issue for Democrats electorally. You can say that the influencers online should have de-emphasized it and helped in this cover-up of it, like some people might have or might have been inclined to do. You can say that. It doesn't matter. We could all turn on a dime and become Zionist freaks overnight, and this would still be getting out on TikTok and social media. There will always be people that will fill this vacuum, and it would have hurt the Democrats electorally regardless of that. We want to see Democrats actually defeat Republicans because it's the only opposition party right now to the slow roll of fascism. And this influencer style argument that is really, I mean, curiously aligned with the Democratic consultant class that is desperate for a left-wing Joe Rogan, but not like Hassan, somebody else, curiously aligned with their the way that they talk about it, by the way, is on an entirely separate track, this conversation, from what the voters want. That's what was so infuriating, frankly, about this Maine Senate conversation. It's like nobody cares what Maine Democratic Party voters want. It's like nobody cares what Michigan Democratic Party voters want. Do you care, Pacman, that in these districts where these DSA electeds won, that the voters wanted them and said they're representative of our interests? Why are we having this top-down conversation about how online influencers can manipulate the Democratic base into wanting something that they don't want? Because right now the battle lines are drawn. When he's saying we should strike a third way in between, and this is what the implication is, the crazy lefty and a Haley Stevens-style corporatist, that's what Pacman's politics would be. The reality is that materially, there is there's a canyon in between those candidates right now. Because of the money issue. Like, the reason that money is coalescing behind corporatist centrists in these races versus these leftists is because that is what the battlefield is. The money left McMorrow because they understood what the real deal was and what the battle is. It's a battle right now for the institutions that they represent, for Zionism, for the billionaire class. They're going to go all in on a candidate like Stevens, because that's where that is what we're dealing with here, right? And you can't will into the middle of it a wedge who's going to represent some half measure. That's not where we're at right now. And the money is responsive to that reality. We should be responsive to it as well.
Later in the clip, Pacman says he encourages his audience, like, you need to get active in these groups. You need to go to these young Democrats groups. And guess what? Majority Report or Hassan don't need to tell people to, because those groups are already listening to us. We already won that battle. I hate to tell you, but even the not even just DSA folks, I mean young Democrats.
Yeah.
We drank your milkshake because you fucked up with some major questions on foreign policy, and not just October 7th. But the thing with Pacman here is I'm getting a little bit annoyed with this plain dumb. I don't know even how you pronounce APAC thing. Remember that? But there's this little thing he's on now of why wouldn't the Maoist suit Hassan Piker want Destiny in? And get ready to put this up, Brian. The Maoist suit Hassan Piker want Destiny to come in because they know they lost like young Democrat groups. But David Pacman knows exactly why they wouldn't allow, because he himself withdrew from a speaking engagement because of reputational concerns, because Destiny was going to share a stage earlier, like a year earlier. Here's Hassan revealing that on his stream.
Hangburn, regarding June 22nd event in Queens, New York, I forget to inform ticket holders that David Pacman has chosen to withdraw from his scheduled appearance at the anti-Trump tour event. Wow. David, why did you pull out of this event, David? That's crazy. That's crazy. So the guy you chose to defend. So when the College Democrats of America do the same thing you did last year. When the College Democrats.
You get the point. Why is Pacman playing dumb about that?
Yeah. Yeah. Shapeshifter, you got him, Emma. It's so true. People aren't morons. The voters for leftist candidates aren't into cults of personality. With the Plattner stuff, it showed the strength of policy, because despite the things that came out, they still wanted those policies, and that's what matters. And exactly, we're seeing that. Although the slate woman would tell me, I forgot her last name. She would have told me they just want some guy.
Yeah, well, she can talk to Pacman about that.
Yes, exactly.
And guess what? Candidates will still want to be on our show, and not like Destinies.
Ugh, I thought. I don't really hear from him at all anymore.
This was the most recent thing. This like trying
to. Will now.
I guess. I'm sure. I don't know.
Gotta give him something to do.
To be honest, sometimes I see noise and then I don't know where it comes from, and then I think, oh, it's that community. But it's kind of tuned out.
A little marginal these days.
A little marginal. Aiden in Kansas City. Matt must have gotten a great night's sleep. He's on his shit today. There you go.
No, but.
But you did get a haircut, so perhaps that's making you feel
I got up a little bit earlier.
Your power level, yeah. Not so adventurous. AOC's comment resonated for me. The possibility of DSA going a little too far is so removed from our current reality, it's not even worth thinking about. If 20 years from now that's a possibility, then that would actually mean DSA has had a lot of success for things to get to that point, but we can deal with it then. Exactly.
Yeah.
Four-person Cedar. As far as I'm aware, David Pacman is very much aware of this controversy and accusations around Epstein-y, and he was seen complaining about leftists brigading his videos around 3 to 5 months ago. He just doesn't seem to care.
But Hassan was wearing a mouse suit.
That's so stupid.
It really should be beneath someone like David Pakman. Like, I listened to Pakman like 2014. He can read into facts if he wanted to. But he'd rather just say, like, he'd rather than respond to anything in Hassan's speech to those young Democrats, say, like, we're letting a guy wear a mouse suit. He probably loves dictators.
Yeah. What should we do here really quickly?
Van Hollen.
I like that.
Or Sid Rosenberg.
I mean, we could also cover... We should probably cover 10. I'm wondering if I want more inside information before we cover 10.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, we'll cover 10 tomorrow, which is Ken Martin and the DNC, you know, being so far in debt. But this story broke, and I... Maybe have a little birdie. You can give me some more information before we cover that, and maybe we'll cover it tomorrow.
Or Ken, if you want to be on the show.
Oh, yes, right. I mean, I'm extremely close to Ken Martin. I want to just make sure that he gets a fair shake. Yeah, let's do this. So, Chris Van Hollen endorsed Abdullah al-Sayed. Elizabeth Warren did as well. It's cool to see, especially when you contrast it with the fact that I was extremely disappointed that Gretchen Whitmer decided to weigh into the race over the weekend and endorse Haley Stevens. I mean, yeah, that's the woman whose political instincts brought her to the White House, where Trump ambushed her on tariffs, and then she hid her face from the cameras. So
she's just standing up for people who weren't allowed at the cool kids table and then would fall through that said table.
Yes, I guess she is. She's standing up against the cool kids. Okay, let's just play that really quickly. I'm sorry. Haley Stevens, and then we'll play Chris Van Hollen, because I think this might be about us. This clip, is it on the sheet? Number four. We'll play, just to give you an update on this key race, you know, around a week and a day from this primary. This is what they're going with here. Haley Stevens is upset that the cool kids are mocking her from the coast. And I just, look, first thought is, was this Hassan Piker? And then my second thought was, maybe this is about us. And if you're calling me cool, guilty as charged.
Okay, some of you have seen, you know, there's those cool kids on the internet. They're doing the cool kid chatter. Some of them might be the coastal elites making fun of how I talk.
Not okay.
Not okay. Says my governor. Let's be real.
Sorry.
They're making fun of Michigan.
I am Michigan?
They're thinking they're better than us. And what they don't know is I am your voice. And their jokes,
I hope
and
not.
Their criticism only makes me
says
fight
a coastal
harder.
Elite. All right, I think we're good. You can see Clyburn behind her as well, endorsed in that race. She's like, she's doing the Benjamin Netanyahu. I am Israel. Yeah. We are. I am Michigan. And if you criticize me, you're criticizing all of Michigan. How's that going to work? Is all of Michigan some sort of corporate entity for AIPAC?
Why is she more Michigan than Abdullah Sayed?
There you go. I mean, that's a good question. There's so many racist undertones in how, even in the misogyny stuff, like, there's a lot of Islamophobia, and white women love to traffic in this, victimizing themselves with Muslim people. Israelis are quite good at this as well.
The fact is, she loves talking about this because it's not talking about how much money she gets to sell out American interests to Israel.
Yeah, she gets to victimize herself as a genocidal lobby spends tens of millions of dollars on her behalf. But she's the underdog because woman. Got it. So on the good guys team, here's Chris Van Hollen, who is speaking at a rally for Abdullah Sayed over the weekend in Ferndale, Michigan, and some audience member calls out for Chuck Schumer to be replaced, and Van Hollen chuckles a little bit.
It's pretty simple. We want someone who's going to be there for working people in Michigan, and of course he'd be a United States Senator, so for working people all over the country.
the new Senate Majority Leader.
And we need to make sure.
Come on, Chris.
We need to make sure that we have somebody who understands that the status quo is unacceptable. It's pretty simple.
There you go. I mean, that's a little bit of an acknowledgement that they need a new Senate Majority Leader. When are you guys going to take your shot, though? I got to ask. And I wonder who they're lining up against, because
I'm still
waiting
for him to weaken.
Right.
You know, he's so strong.
I know. Chuck Schumer. Just the grasp he has of the political moment. I wonder if Van Hollen wants to run for president, but if he doesn't, I mean, of course, I think he's the front runner for anyone that's left of center that wants somebody to represent a better version of the Democratic Party in the Senate. He went down and actually got results with the Kilmer Abrego Garcia case.
I guess the question is, like, do we want the leader in the Senate to be somebody who has, like, some sense of statesmanship and awareness of the world, or do we want them to be a money funnel to other senators? And I would love to be proven wrong that it's not going to be another money funnel.
Well, we'll see. Brian Schatz wants it, and he's been kind of like playing both sides, and he's been associated with this leadership structure. I mean, we'll see.
Here's the thing, like, when it comes to younger politicians, unless they have a very close to my politics, I don't want to see them promoted.
Yeah.
So I'll take the older guy if all else is equal.
Right, because they would cement their power a little bit more. I mean, that's why they're desperate for Alyssa Slotkin to be leadership in the Senate.
That's why I was never, I don't know, like, it's bad that Hakeem Jeffries is getting the chance, although maybe we can burn through him too.
Maybe we can, and we shall see. But, like, The money piece is amazing, because the DNC, and we will cover this tomorrow, is so in debt that these individual candidates are doing okay, because Haley Stevens or candidates like that have outside money that's being spent on their behalf. And then you have Ossoff or Abdul al-Sayed, right, who are doing quite well with small dollar contributions. But no one wants to donate to the Democratic National Committee. The party nationally has the most toxic brand in politics. And it's evidence in their balance sheet. The notice reported over the weekend that the DNC had to put its physical headquarters up for collateral last year because they were so in debt. They needed a $15 million line of credit. And, oh, wow, they need that line of credit. Well, maybe they must have figured this out by now. Just kidding. Federal disclosures from June showed that the DNC has $16 million in its account and $18 million in debt. They are $2 million in debt right now in an election year. In a midterm election year, the DNC is $2 million in debt. You want to guess how much the Republican National Committee has? $128 million in cash and no outstanding debts. And we covered this headline last week or 2 weeks ago, that Trump's super PAC has $400 million and he hasn't expended any of that money in primaries. But the Democrats should continue through their outside expenditures, burning all of their resources on progressive candidates. Let's see how that works out. Is that not an indication there of everything we say about how money is always going to line up behind the fascists? The Democratic infrastructure would rather burn its money as it's $2 million in debt, the DNC is. We rather have these, and I know these are different mechanisms, but this is still like the pot of fundraising that they're all cognizant of. They would rather burn through those resources in primaries than sit on that money and deploy it in the general election in the fall, which is what the Republicans are doing.
House divided cannot stand.
H.E. says, good job, DNC, for giving the job to Ken Martin instead of Ben Wickler. I mean, my goodness. Horrific. Definitely not Cameron. Says, remember how incensed Martin got when What's-His-Face from Podsafe was doing a quick accounting math and pointed out the DNC is negative? I think that was Jon Favreau. And, yeah, I mean, like, those guys care about the Democrats winning. And if you care about the Democrats winning, even if we're not talking about ideology, just, like, core competency here, Ken Martin has been an abject failure. Ramona Frankenstein. Haley Stevens is seriously out here saying Abdul al-Sayed can't represent Michigan because he talks like a normal person and not like a character from a sketch that got cut from Mad TV. I'm joking, of course, but saying he's unqualified. She's saying he's unqualified because he's a brown guy. Yep. Daniel from VA, speaking of debt and financial fiscal responsibility, the DCCC is wasting hundreds of thousands on losers in primary races. Exactly. Shapeshifter, Jesus Christ, is that depleted war chest going to affect the midterms? I think, you know, Shapeshifter, the point is that, like, the DNC could be taking a more active role in helping candidates in the midterms. But, yeah, it's going to have an impact that would be more on the DCCC and the DSCC, but they're artificially boosting candidates in those primaries, too. Maybe that's less of a question of resources. I need to check more into it, but still. It's just crazy. Kentucky leftist. Kentuckian here. Trust me, we make fun of Stevens' shitty accent here, and we've got very little room to talk about shitty accents. Mitch McConnell, Rand Paul, James Comer, et cetera, et cetera. So no, Haley, it's not just coastal elites. Coal country hates you, too. Josh in California, that Clyburn interview with Ested Herndon was just infuriating. I got to check that out. I saw the top line headline of Clyburn saying black people were responsible for Kamala Harris's 2024 loss. I mean, just a joke. Blame the voters again. Blame the most reliable voting bloc for the Democratic Party, and let's see how that works out. It's just, yeah.
Term limits. Can't go upstairs, and you know what? Jim Clyburn could never.
Could never. All right, three more, and then we're going to get out of here. Kirby, please get Margot Martindale character actress to play her down the road, OMG. I mean, there's a bit of an age difference, but Margot Martindale.
Oh, yeah.
Smooth operator, AIPAC is going to ditch Haley Stevens if she wins the primary because there's no reason to continue funding her with both candidates effectively on the same side. They're trying to. It's more about making an example out of Abdul than it is about Haley Stevens.
It's not even about me.
I'm sorry for my Michigan erasure there. And the final I am of the day, Pope Pax. How short is Pacman's memory? In 2016, centrist Dems and media called Bernie crazy for bringing up Medicare for All, how extremist that was, and how a lot of folks were skeptical of it. By 2020, candidates were asked about it in the primary, and at this point, only 10 years later, it's immensely popular policy amongst voters, including among independents and registered Republicans. Exposure to leftist policy leads to popularity of leftist policy, not the opposite.
I mean, I think he now is implying that it would take something like authoritarianism to get it passed.
Yep. All right, folks, with that, we're going to wrap up this episode. We will be back with you tomorrow. Thanks, everybody. See you then.
It might take all the strength I got to get to where I want. But I know somehow I'm gonna get there. I wasn't looking when I just got caught between the truth and the light bulb. But finding out won't make me feel any better. Yeah, I know the clock is ticking, but the meds are gonna kick in. And my pilot the choice is made for the option where you don't get paid, for the road that bends before it finally breaks you. I guess somehow I lost my drive, but I know somehow I'm gonna get there. I wasn't looking when I just got caught between the truth and the light bulb. Finding out won't make me feel any better. Yeah, I know the clock is ticking, but the meds are gonna kick in. And my pilot light's shining bright. I guess somewhere the choice is made for the option where you don't get paid, for the road that finally breaks you. I guess somehow I lost my drive.
Madam Speaker, another concern relates to expectations. One of the dangers associated with creating advocacy offices is that citizens often develop expectations that exceed the powers actually granted to those offices. Here's a more natural flowing version of that section that reads like a legislative speech rather than a series of short points.
No!
Madam Speaker, one of my concerns with this legislation is the potential gap between what New Brunswickers may reasonably expect this office to accomplish and what the office will actually have the authority to do once it is established. When people hear that government...
Whoops.
Oh, man.
He doesn't miss a beat. He is on complete autopilot.
That's what you got to do, though. No, I think he, like...
Do you think he noticed?
Deep down, I think he noticed, and it's like, you do not show any wavering.
Right.
No one will notice. Everyone's asleep. There's no one watching this.
Right.
I'm the progressive conservative. People don't even know I exist down in the States.
Yeah. Just keep it moving. Keep it moving, man.
But I've seen a few things like this happen before. I know there's, I can't remember which politician it was, but I think like upstate was talking about, I pledge never to use AI for my legislative speeches. I would bet it's something like 3/4 across legislatures, what from like the House of Commons to like Wyoming state legislature.
Yeah.
I guarantee all the aides are all generating this stuff with ChatGPT now.
Yes. You know what it reminded me of? It's remember when Biden, when he was trying to convince everybody that, you know, he was still, he still had it. He was like, repeat the line. Remember he read the teleprompter
and said, I don't remember that.
Repeat the line. No. But that was prior, like that is more, that's more defensible, I guess, than saying, I don't know. I don't know which is worse. The fact that this is an AI prompt, though, this falls on the staff that included this.
Yeah, exactly.
It's laziness versus dementia.
Exactly.
So I don't know.
Right, right.
But, I mean, it shows how the sausage is made. Here's this part.
It is noteworthy that the percentage of women who registered to vote and cast a ballot is consistently higher than the percentage of the men who do so. End of quote. Repeat the line.
Women
are not without electoral and or...
Because we didn't have it up here. This part, no, it's all good.
Percentage of the men who do so, end of quote. Then the percentage of the men who do so, end of quote. Repeat the line. Women are not without electoral and or...
God, that was...
One that more time!
And you know what that was?
Repeat the line.
You know what that was after? Repeat... Yeah, man. You got this. That was after the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade.
Oh, my God.
That's why our response to it was so vigorous. Huh?
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so that wasn't even... I thought that was the repeat the line thing was more recent when he was really ailing after the debate. No, it was just in the middle of his term as well. So
it's almost as if the signs were there.
Almost as if the signs were there, exactly. Dang. I mean, honestly, there should be regulations, and this should not be allowed to be used in government, but
that's going to be like taking somebody off of a very addictive substance at this point for, I think, the staffers that write these sorts of speeches and whose jobs it's been to produce this sort of text beforehand.
Man. Probably going to be a lot easier to sneak things into legislation too, because everybody's just going to be using summaries.
Yeah,
for everything.
Well, that's something I can get behind. Sneaking in good things into legislation without them noticing. Yeah. No, not so adventurous. It is funny that how these conservatives who love to talk like libertarians are fine with some intervention when they benefit. Money for their car company? Great idea. I'll benefit the country to develop this industry. Science is political. Anna Paulina Luna has literally left the AI prompts in official government documents. Of course she has.
I mean, it's crazy. Like, the lack of concern... And how lazy, I don't know.
It's really also shocking. Like, you know, the lack of desire to have some sort of like actual comprehensive, like, to have reading comprehension, to be able to grasp larger concepts that can't be solved with summaries. I mean, we learned this in school with Cliff Notes.
You're a lawmaker in any country, like, let alone the United States, but like, if you were like Czechia,
yeah,
like, you should. To like submit something and you haven't like looked over it, like, especially because like a lot of these people come from law backgrounds, like, what do you do besides read these sort of documents? Isn't that supposed to be your main competency? I don't know where Anna Paulina Luna comes from, but
yeah. Shapeshifter Trump, most people don't care about Ghostbusters 2016 being woke feminist trash, but I care.
If you cared, you would have laughed.
Some guy says Trump can't deliver a punchline through the fog of dementia. His rambling explanations get in the way. not Nick Fuentes, says the Trump comedy part of the White House Correspondents' Dinner was just him channeling his inner German part, despite being a germaphobe. My comedy skills are horrible, but not as horrible as him bombing at that dinner. Olivia Rheingold wrote these jokes for Donald Trump. Crimes? Yeah. Carolina commie. Poor Tony Hinchcliffe. He sacrificed his career making MAGA jokes for the election so he could get this correspondent dinner speech writing job, and now Trump is bombing with his perfectly crafted jokes.
He fucked up my Dylan Mulvaney bit.
I mean, did Hinchcliffe really fuck his career up?
Yeah.
Did who?
Hinchcliffe really fuck his
career. No, he didn't have a career until that happened.
He was always just kind of bottom feeder.
No, that made his career.
What was he going to do? Like, do some very respected specials?
Yeah, right.
Write on the same shitty roast I used to write on?
Yeah.
Oh, like those other losers?
Julio, unfortunately, in Alabama, says, shout out to Caitlin Collins, who's from my state. She seems cool, but definitely giving centrist vibes. I don't blame her too much since she's from Alabama.
She's from the Daily Caller, so...
Yeah, but I don't
A journalist.
I don't care, you know, what... If you're holding the administration accountable, and I think that the way she's done it has been good. When I hear her interviews, I don't, like, have these, like, glaring reactions, like when Jake Tapper does it on CNN, and it's like, this is the most biased question I've ever heard in my fucking life. Like, you know, for the most part,
she seems to respect herself as a journalist.
Can see, like, what the storyline is.
Also, like, yeah, that's the thing about journalists is, like, it's almost kind of inappropriate to peg them as either, like, progressive or centrist or... Like, I think the main question is just don't be, like, beholden to, like, Israeli nationalism would be, an objective as much as you can.
Hey, Trey says, it was amazing to see these journalists winning awards for their work on Trump diddling kids. And they just go shake his hand and smile. Insane.
And also, no one's, like, yeah. Like, it is a little bit weird to be given awards for this stuff. No one's been locked up in this country. In other countries, there have been. Even royals have been taken down by this. And where has who's paid any consequence except, like, Warren Buffett isn't going to give as much to the Gates Foundation anymore. Like,
and Larry Summers, in his, you know, retirement years, can't teach at Harvard anymore.
And he can't be on the Center for American Progress.
Oh, no. What will Neera do without her buddy?
Tweet, probably.
No. What? I mean, to be honest, it's amazing that even, like, I use Twitter so much less than I used to, and that the Elon bot takeover has not really deterred Neera from continuing to post at an unbelievable clip. Even not getting a Senate conference, not being able to be confirmed for some low-level position that Biden was trying to give her in his term, she had to step aside because her tweets were too controversial, and she's still posting.
She retweeted Nick Fuentes saying, like, I'm done with Republicans.
I thought she said that Hassan was the same as Nick Fuentes.
Yeah, well.
Well, but she likes Nick Fuentes, I guess, more.
Saying good things about Democrats.
Well, true. Pasta Passport, Donald Trump at the Correspondents' Dinner. Is this thing on? Chris Burdick, we need to get back to those classy White House correspondence dinners, like the one where Colin Jost called Joe Biden a good and kind man at the height of Biden sponsoring a genocide. Colin Jost is horrible. I mean, sorry. He's just, I think, pretty awful. Yeah. Sorry.
Wow, so diplomatic.
I want to correct.
Way to walk it back.
I'm realizing how many people watch our show now.
I know. Some people watch our show that might be offended by that. I'm sorry. I don't get the appeal.
It was easier when we just had like 50,000 subscribers.
Exactly.
You can say whatever you want.
Exactly.
About people.
Sorry.
I think he does a fine job.
He's not horrible. He's just awful. Noah from Tampa. He laughed when he was hanging out with Jake Paul. Trump did. Yes. I remember that. Yes.
What did Paul do?
I forget. Just like was a man in his orbit.
Take his shirt off.
Probably. McCarnation Revolution says MR Carnation Revolution. Don't forget about Olivia Rheingold posting the phone camera at herself instead of the unfolding scene. Right. I forgot.
Oh, that was a great one too.
Yes.
So many good moments at that.
I know.
That was actually very good.
Yes.
Look what's happening to me.
That is what the influencer style of journalism is like right now on the right.
Get my facial reactions to this.
Yeah. Yes. Let's do 9. Fox News is really going, you know, all hands on deck here about the greatest threat that this country faces, and that is New Jersey's own Hassan Piker. Many people are saying that New Jersey is the breeding ground for terrorism in this country, and that's part of where I got radicalized, obviously, in New Jersey. And same here with Hassan. The reason I'm bringing that up is because they open with his birthplace as if we're, like, talking about some historical,
we deport him?
This literally reads exact. Well, there you go. To be honest, my brain hadn't gotten to the racism part yet.
Why have we deported him? Oh,
it's just like it's almost like they're reading through his Wikipedia. Like, why is it relevant that he's from New Jersey? And you've just solved it. But anyway, here is Fox News over the weekend with their important story, The Rise of Hassan Piker.
Let's take a look. Hassan Piker is born in New Jersey to Turkish parents, but raised in Istanbul. He has family ties. No. You recognize this guy.
Wait, look how close New Jersey is to Turkey.
That's my favorite.
The Jersey Shores of Tripoli.
That border secure?
I mean, Eric Adams says that it's the Turkey of America, I guess. You'll know, this is my favorite too, where they go, you'll know this guy, and then he totally mispronounces Cenk's name. You'll know this guy, right?
The household name.
The nursing home people watching this in the middle of the day are like,
Yeah, I know him.
Yeah.
Family ties, you'll recognize this guy. He entered political media as the Young Turks co-founder's nephew. That's Cenk Uygur, who you remember very much following in the footsteps.
You don't.
Hassan Piker starts building an online empire, turning his daily stream that everybody from Rokana to Abdul al-Sayed.
So this is, I just want to say, this is a minute and change. You didn't have time to look up the pronunciation of the one proper noun that you didn't know how to pronounce?
I mean, I think that they do this all the time with any name that is foreign. Like, they're trying to disparage people. It's why they still don't pronounce Zoran Mamdani's name correctly.
Oh, yeah, Ruben goes crazy on Zoran's name. Zahran?
I don't know enough about this Fox News guy, except that he interviewed Grace Mauser recently of DSA. So he's on this anti-DSA beat for Fox on the weekends.
He's catching up, old man.
But I do just love how he has the preface of, you'll know this guy. I clearly don't, though.
I've never heard of him in my life. Yeah. What's this, YouTube? What's that?
Right. And the audience that is watching this definitely doesn't know who Hassan or Cenk are.
Or Cenk Uygur.
Or Cenk. Yeah. Either of those three. Any of those three. I find it interesting that Fox is even bothering to demonize Hassan, but we'll continue now.
That everybody from Rokana to Abdul al-Sayed wants to be on, AOC, and he turned these live streams into an audience of 10 million followers. Part of why he is so front and center as a voice of young Democrats, his political access with major progressive stars appear on his show. They're literally like, it's like Joe Rogan trying to get on his show if you are a far left progressive Democrat.
Joe Rogan of the left.
Oh, now I get it.
Be denied. He's called religious Jews inbred, defended Hamas, continues to do that, and apologized.
Okay. He called the Israeli settlers inbred, and I'm sorry. Take a look at these freaks that are abusing Palestinians and torching their homes in the West Bank and tell me that they don't look inbred. Like,
it's deliverance.
The Trumps look inbred too, gotta say. I mean, I think Eric Trump,
a
little bit of a vibe. We can make fun of people for looking inbred, and it doesn't just have to do with their Judaism.
I would say it's borderline slanderous to say he called all religious Jewish people inbred.
He called the deranged settlers that are on video looking, I mean, with
wasn't
buck
it someone
teeth
in his chat? Like, yeah, it was. I can't remember, but I thought it was. I've seen a clip where it's like someone in his chat that was defending like genocide.
But I do love that they have an addendum. They have an addendum to the America Deserve 9/11 piece, because it's like, you may have already heard this one before, but we've also got this insult on Israeli settlers to throw at you.
And apologized after saying that America deserved 9/11. In the latest firestorm, addressed college Democrats in a Mao-style suit. Look at that. And it's interesting, guys, because just think the list.
It's the suit you can.
I mean, look, Hassan is dressing in that manner, right? And he's trying to.
It could
evoke...
be a Deng Xiaoping style suit.
I'm telling
or
you.
Or a Hillary Clinton.
It could be exactly. He is giving homage to the girl boss queen of the Democratic Party, Hillary Clinton.
Probably would have been scarier to this geriatric crowd
exactly.
if he said a Hillary style suit than Mao.
Right.
They're like, what? He's dressed like a cat? Mao?
It's kind of shocking because. To mention, like, just focus, like, don't mention anything he said in the speech.
No. Just focus on his attire.
He did it in this suit.
I know.
Look at what he was wearing.
I know. And you know what's funny is that Hassan has been consciously trying to wear, like, regular suits so that he knows.
He wears them on stream now.
When
yeah.
he goes on Fox News, he says, I know I'm going to get clipped and I don't want to scare these grandmas. So it's like the producers were like, we have an avenue around that. He wore the Hillary Clinton Mao suit to this speech and we are going to be able to show him in that. Don't play anything about what he said, though. I'm like, to make. Too much sense.
Yeah. Also, David Pakman did the exact same thing as, oh, Hassan gave the speech in that suit. And,
well, this is David Pakman said that.
Yeah. You want me to find it?
Fine.
Yeah.
I mean, it's actually quite instructive, honestly, to see how liberals are sounding exactly like Fox News. If this is like the road that he's going to go down here, attacking the DSA left as it surges, I mean, I'm all for making fun of this because this is genuinely harmful.
Exactly. At a time where the State Department is
trying to criminalize leftists. I mean, read Ken Klippenstein's reporting about this. It's astonishing.
Yeah.
Like they're doing McCarthyite blacklists, and this is one of the largest streamers who I think. Do you think it's a coincidence that David Pakman was contacted by Chorus? Remember when they were making fun of Taylor Lorenz's reporting on this? Has there been any refutation about that yet? Because I haven't seen anything that's legitimate about like their claims. They all cried and bitched about it. And now, shockingly, these same people are the ones that are the most anti-DSA folks who reportedly were in coordination with this company that was paying them for certain services or whatever.
For their content. Yeah, here we go.
Ugh.
The Democratic Party is showing the early signs of the same disease that destroyed the Republican Party. Republicans back in 2010.
You know that Republican Party that's so destroyed right now?
Yeah, the one that has continuously won over and over and over again.
Okay, and it's like passed its agenda, even items like abolishing Roe versus Wade that people thought they would never actually do. Anyway.
Yeah, I care if my party's politically effective, but I guess we just care if they're a little... He cares if they're a little uncouth or too close to populism or something
yeah.
like that.
Also, like, I don't want the Republicans... one thing I don't like the Republicans is how much they support Israel, but I don't think that's what we're talking about here. Anyway, let's just go.
You should go pose at the White House again with the guy committing genocide.
Yep. Not say anything. Say actually everything's fine. But anyway, okay. Here's a little bit more. He's got a finger to point.
I can't
and
wait for
their
this.
Leaders laughed at the Tea Party. The left and Democrats can't make the same mistake. There is a small group of far left extremists gaining influence inside youth groups and party organizations. There was a college Democrats convention, which I was actually invited to participate in, and I couldn't make it. Hassan Piker was dressed like Mao, and I guess Destiny tried to show up and he was banned from entering.
So Destiny's a creep and stalker, and that's why he wasn't allowed there. But yeah, like he focuses on Hassan's attire and then puts words in Hassan's mouth about like abolish the police, which Hassan is not a police abolitionist, and doesn't address anything. And then he recently appeared on Gavin Newsom's show too. So, but anyway, the point is this freak out is pretty widespread and it's pretty disgusting to see who's participating in it.
Is there more?
Yeah, we can do something.
I want to hear more about what I mean. Does he get beyond the sartorial critique?
He does this weird thing of not understanding why someone like Destiny, who has weird accusations about him, in addition to like a rancid ideology. And
I didn't even know he was still like around. And
neither
doing
did
stuff.
I really. Yeah. And he wasn't allowed in this thing. And then let Pakman.
Okay.
Allegedly, because the Mao dressed Piker didn't want him there.
Mao
Republicans
Piker?
Are going to put these clips everywhere.
So, yeah, we'll play this a little bit
just
more.
Keep going. Yeah,
like,
this is annoying.
People seem crazy when they see this stuff. And they are going to take abolish the police and abolish borders and abolish prisons and play them on a loop for 6 months. Democrats must act now and intelligently. The centrist don't really do anything, make very milquetoast fringe suggestions that you don't even really push for. Not working. Okay. This Agreed. Other thing of like end everything, it's a sort of destructive accelerationism, that's also not going to work. So I think that what we need here are no apologetics for dictatorship, no apologetics for authoritarianism, no harassment, no anti-Semitism, no allowing online factions to decide which liberals may enter the room. You know,
So this is what's annoying. Would I even have an audience? Okay, actually, keep going. I'm sorry.
Allowed at that college debt.
Would I even have been allowed at this? This is the
hysterical. I mean, like, this is a hysteria about being rendered a little bit irrelevant here. He's talking about Mallory McMorrow. No one wanted her. He's saying we need a third way between a candidate like Haley Stevens and the far left extremists. No one wanted a Mallory McMorrow.
But he said he was invited to this thing. He's complaining. Would I have been invited to this thing I was invited to?
You were invited.
Yeah, it's like, would I have been allowed at this thing I was invited to but decided I had better things to do?
It's bizarre.
Because Destiny wasn't. Here's the thing. Well, I'm going to play it in a second. Let's just get through this.
Okay, I'm sorry.
No, would I even have been allowed at that college Democrats thing? They invited me months ago. I don't know. I mean, I couldn't go, so we didn't find out. I've said before, I've never been a Democrat. I don't care about the Democratic Party beyond who offers the better candidates, and usually it's Democrats over Republicans. But we've got to make sure that we don't allow that party, if it is the vessel, at least for now, to something better than what Republicans are offering, to be hijacked.
Okay. Hijacked by what? This is so vague and bizarre to me.
He never does get around to saying what they need to do besides not be anti-Semitic and apologetic for dictatorships. Should they be apologetic for genocide and apartheid, David, would be the thing that I would address. Because that's why Pacman in particular is throwing these kinds of words around. It's because he's actually fucked up. It isn't the other people that hypothetically might fuck up and do like Stalinist show trials in 10 years. I agree that if that happens, that would be bad, and I will try to stop that from happening. We're not, like AOC said, we can't pass the minimum wage. We're not close to communism. What is happening is ethnic cleansing with American bombs.
Yeah.
And Pacman was into the fucking White House to say everything's fine, actually. Don't listen to these fringe leftists too much. And now he needs to have his own finger to point, because otherwise he's uncomfortable. He was on Gavin Newsom saying, people are purity testing me out. People have a problem with positions you have taken, David, and you don't want to address them.
Right. And even if you want to say in this cold-blooded way, I don't care about the genocide in Gaza, I don't care about the ethnic cleansing campaign, the reality is that it was a bad issue for Democrats electorally. You can say that the influencers online should have de-emphasized it and helped in this cover-up of it, like some people might have or might have been inclined to do. You can say that. It doesn't matter. We could all turn on a dime and become Zionist freaks overnight, and this would still be getting out on TikTok and social media. There will always be people that will fill this vacuum, and it would have hurt the Democrats electorally regardless of that. We want to see Democrats actually defeat Republicans, because it's the only opposition party right now to the slow roll of fascism. And this influencer style argument that is really, I mean, curiously aligned with the Democratic consultant class that is desperate for a left wing Joe Rogan, but not like Hassan, somebody else. Curiously aligned with the way that they talk about it, by the way, is on an entirely separate track, this conversation, from what the voters want. That's what was so infuriating, frankly, about this Maine Senate conversation. It's like nobody cares what Maine Democratic Party voters want. It's like nobody cares what Michigan Democratic Party voters want. Do you care, Pacman, that in these districts where these DSA electeds won, that the voters wanted them and said they're representative of our interests? Why are we having this top-down conversation about how online influencers can manipulate the Democratic base into wanting something that they don't want? Because right now the battle lines are drawn. When he's saying we should strike a third way in between, and this is what the implication is, the crazy lefty and a Haley Stevens-style corporatist, that's what Pacman's politics would be. The reality is that materially, there is there's a canyon in between those candidates right now. Because of the money issue. Like, the reason that money is coalescing behind corporatist centrists in these races versus these leftists is because that is what the battlefield is. the money left McMorrow because they understood what the real deal was and what the battle is. It's a battle right now for their the institutions that they represent, for Zionism, for the billionaire class. They're going to go all in on a candidate like Stevens because that's where the that is what we're dealing with here, right? And you can't will into the middle of it a wedge who's going to represent some half measure. That's not where we're at right now, and the money is responsive to that reality. We should be responsive to it as well.
Later in the clip, Pacman says he encourages his audience, like, you need to get active in these groups. You need to go to the young these young Democrats groups. And guess what? Majority Report or Hassan don't need to tell people to, because those groups are already listening to us. We already won that battle. I hate to tell you, but even the not even just DSA folks. I mean young Democrats.
Yeah.
We drank your milkshake because you fucked up with some major questions and it on foreign policy and not just October 7th. But the thing with Pacman here is I'm getting a little bit annoyed with this plain dumb. The not, I don't know even how you pronounce APAC thing. Remember that? But there's this little thing he's on now of why wouldn't the Maoist suit Hassan Piker want Destiny in? And get ready to put this up, Brian. The Maoist suit Hassan Piker want Destiny to come in because they know they lost like young Democrat groups. But David Pacman knows exactly why they wouldn't allow, because he himself withdrew from a speaking engagement because of reputational concerns, because Destiny was going to share a stage earlier, like a year earlier. Here's the Hassan revealing that on his stream.
Pangburn regarding June 22nd event in Queens, New York. I forget to inform ticket holders that David Pacman has chosen to withdraw from his scheduled appearance at the anti-Trump tour event. Wow. David, why did you pull out of this event, David? That's crazy. That's crazy. So you, the guy you chose to defend. So when the College Democrats of America do the same thing you did last year. When the College Democrats.
You get the point. Why is Pacman playing dumb about that?
Yeah. Yeah. Shapeshifter, you got him, Emma. It's so true. People aren't morons. The voters for leftist candidates aren't into cults of personality. With the Plattner stuff, it showed the strength of policy, because despite the things that came out, they still wanted those policies, and that's what matters. And exactly, we're seeing that. Although the Slate woman would tell me, I forgot her last name. She would have told me, they just want some guy.
Yeah, well, she can talk to Pacman about that.
Yes, exactly.
And guess what? Candidates will still want to be on our show and not like Destinies.
Ugh. I don't really hear from him at all anymore. I feel
no,
like.
This was the most recent thing. This like
I
trying
bet
to
you will now.
I guess. I'm sure. I don't know.
Gotta give him something to do.
To be honest, sometimes I see noise and then I don't know where it comes from, and then I think, oh, it's that community. But it's kind of tuned out.
A little marginal these days.
A little marginal. Aiden in Kansas City. Matt must have gotten a great night's sleep. He's on his shit today. There you go.
No, but.
But you did get a haircut, so perhaps that's making you feel
that's right.
Like.
I got up a little bit earlier.
Your power level. It. Yeah. Not so adventurous. AOC's comment resonated for me. The possibility of DSA going a little too far is so removed from our current reality. It's not even worth thinking about. If 20 years from now that's a possibility, then that would actually mean DSA has had a lot of success for things to get to that point. But we can deal with it then. Exactly.
Yeah.
Four-person seater. As far as I'm aware, David Pacman is very much aware of this controversy and accusations around Epstein, and he was seen complaining about leftists brigading his videos around 3 to 5 months ago. He just doesn't seem to care.
But Hassan was wearing a Mao suit.
That's so stupid.
It really should be beneath someone like David Pacman. Like I listened to Pacman like 2014. He can read into facts if he wanted to, but he'd rather just say like he'd rather than respond to anything in Hassan's speech to those young Democrats, say like, we're letting a guy wear a Mao suit. He probably loves dictators.
Yeah. What should we do here really quickly?
Van Hollen.
I like that.
Or Sid Rosenberg.
I mean, we could also cover. We should probably cover 10. I'm wondering if I want more inside information before we cover 10.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, we'll cover 10 tomorrow, which is Ken Martin and the DNC, you know, being so far in debt. But this story broke, and I. Maybe have a little birdie. You can give me some more information before we cover that, and maybe we'll cover it tomorrow.
Or Ken, if you want to be on the show.
Oh, yes, right. I mean, I'm extremely close to Ken Martin. I want to just make sure that he gets a fair shake. Yeah, let's do this. So, Chris Van Hollen endorsed Abdullah al-Sayed. Elizabeth Warren did as well. It's cool to see, especially when you contrast it with the fact that I was extremely disappointed that Gretchen Whitmer decided to weigh into the race over the weekend and endorse Haley Stevens. I mean, yeah, that's the woman whose political instincts brought her to the White House, where Trump ambushed her on tariffs and then she hid her face from the cameras. So,
well, she's just standing up for people who weren't allowed at the cool kids table and then would fall through that said table.
Yes, I guess she is. She's standing up against the cool kids. Okay, let's just play that really quickly. I'm sorry. Haley Stevens, and then we'll play Abdullah, and then we'll play Chris Van Hollen, because I think this might be about us. This clip, is it on the sheet? Number four. We'll play, just to give you an update on this key race, you know, around a week and a day from this primary. This is what they're going with here. Haley Stevens is upset that the cool kids are mocking her from the coasts. And I just, look, first thought is, was this Hassan Piker? And then my second thought was, maybe this is about us. And if you're calling me cool, guilty as charged.
Okay, some of you have seen, you know, there's those cool kids on the internet. They're doing the cool kid chatter. Some of them might be the coastal elites making fun of how I talk.
Not okay.
Not okay, says my governor. Let's be real.
I'm sorry.
They're making fun of Michigan.
I am Michigan.
They're thinking they're better than us. And what they don't know is I am your voice. And their jokes,
I hope not.
Their criticism only makes me
says
fight
a coastal
harder.
Elite. All right, I think we're good. You can see Clyburn behind her as well, endorsed in that race. She's like, she's doing the Benjamin Netanyahu. I am Israel. Yeah. We are. I am Michigan. And if you criticize me, you're criticizing all of Michigan. How's that going to work? Is all of Michigan some sort of corporate entity for AIPAC?
Why is she more Michigan than Abdullah Sayed?
There you go. I mean, that's a good question. There's so many racist undertones in how, even in the misogyny stuff, like, there's a lot of Islamophobia, and white women love to traffic in this, victimizing themselves with Muslim people. Israelis are quite good at this as well.
The fact is, she loves talking about this because it's not talking about how much money she gets to sell out American interests to
right.
Israel.
Yeah, she gets to victimize herself as a genocidal lobby spends tens of millions of dollars on her behalf. But she's the underdog because woman. Got it. So on the good guys team, here's Chris Van Hollen, who is speaking at a rally for Abdullah Sayed over the weekend in Ferndale, Michigan, and some audience member calls out for Chuck Schumer to be replaced, and Van Hollen chuckles a little bit.
It's pretty simple. We want someone who's going to be there for working people in Michigan, and of course, he'd be a United States senator, so for working people all over the country.
The new Senate Majority Leader.
And we need to make sure.
Come on, Chris.
We need to make sure that we have somebody who understands that the status quo is unacceptable. It's pretty simple.
There you go. I mean, that's a little bit of an acknowledgement that they need a new Senate Majority Leader. When are you guys going to take your shot, though? I got to ask. And I wonder who they're lining up against, because
I'm still waiting for
behind.
Him to weaken.
Right.
You know, he's so strong.
I know. Chuck Schumer. Just the grasp he has of the political moment. I wonder if Van Hollen wants to run for president, but if he doesn't, I mean, of course, I think he's the front runner for anyone that's left of center that wants somebody to represent a better version of the Democratic Party in the Senate. He went down and actually got results with the Kilmer Abrego Garcia case.
I guess the question is, like, do we want the leader in the Senate to be somebody who has, like, some sense of statesmanship and awareness of the world, or do we want them to be a money funnel to other senators? And I would love to be proven wrong that it's not going to be another money funnel.
Well, Brian, you know, we'll see. Brian Schatz wants it, and he's been kind of like playing both sides, and he's been associated with this leadership structure. I mean, we'll see.
Here's the thing, like when it comes to younger politicians, unless they have a very close to my politics, I don't want to see them promoted.
Yeah.
So I'll take the older guy if all else is equal.
Right, because they would cement their power a little bit more. I mean, that's why they're desperate for Alyssa Slotkin to be a part of leadership in the Senate.
That's why I was never, I don't know, like it's bad that Akeem Jeffries is getting the chance, although maybe we can burn through him too.
Maybe we can, and we shall see. But like, The money piece is amazing because the DNC, and we will cover this tomorrow, is so in debt that these individual candidates are doing okay because Haley Stevens or candidates like that have outside money that's being spent on their behalf. And then you have Ossoff or Abdul al-Sayed, right, who are doing quite well with small dollar contributions. But no one wants to donate to the Democratic National Committee. The party nationally has the most toxic brand in politics. And it's evidence in their balance sheet. The Notice reported over the weekend that the DNC had to put its physical headquarters up for collateral last year because they were so in debt. They needed a $15 million line of credit. And, oh, wow, they need that line of credit. Well, maybe they must have figured this out by now. Just kidding. Federal disclosures from June showed that the DNC has $16 million in its account and $18 million in debt. They are $2 million in debt right now in an election year. In a midterm election year, the DNC is $2 million in debt. You want to guess how much the Republican National Committee has? $128 million in cash and no outstanding debts. And we covered this headline last week or 2 weeks ago, that Trump's super PAC has $400 million and he hasn't expended any of that money in primaries. But the Democrats should continue through their outside expenditures, burning all of their resources on progressive candidates. Let's see how that works out. Is that not an indication there of everything we say about how money is always going to line up behind the fascists? The Democratic infrastructure would rather burn its money as it's $2 million in debt, the DNC is. We rather have these, and I know these are different mechanisms, but this is still like the pot of fundraising that they're all cognizant of. They would rather burn through those resources in primaries than sit on that money and deploy it in the general election in the fall, which is what the Republicans are doing.
House divided cannot stand.
H.E. says, good job, DNC, for giving the job to Ken Martin instead of Ben Wickler. I mean, my goodness. Horrific. Definitely not. Cameron says, remember how incensed Martin got when What's-His-Face from Podsafe was doing a quick accounting math and pointed out the DNC is negative? I think that was Jon Favreau. And yeah, I mean, like, those guys care about the Democrats winning. And if you care about the Democrats winning, even if we're not talking about ideology, just like core competency here, Ken Martin has been an abject failure. Ramona Frankenstein. Haley Stevens is seriously out here saying Abdul al-Sayed can't represent Michigan because he talks like a normal person and not like a character from a sketch that got cut from Mad TV. I'm joking, of course, but saying she's saying he's unqualified because he's a brown guy. Yep. Daniel from VA. Speaking of debt and financial fiscal responsibility, the DCCC is wasting hundreds of thousands on losers in primary races. Exactly. Shapeshifter, Jesus Christ, is that depleted war chest going to affect the midterms? I think, you know, Shapeshifter, the point is that, like, the DNC could be taking a more active role in helping candidates in the midterms. But, yeah, it's going to have an impact that would be more on the DCCC and the DSCC, but they're artificially boosting candidates in those primaries, too. Maybe that's less of a question of resources. I need to check more into it, but still. It's just crazy. Kentucky leftist, Kentuckian here, trust me, we make fun of Stevens' shitty accent here, and we've got very little room to talk about shitty accents, Mitch McConnell, Rand Paul, James Comer, et cetera, so no, Haley, it's not just coastal elites, coal country hates you too. Josh in California, that Clyburn interview with Ested Herndon was just infuriating, I gotta check that out, I saw the top line headline of Clyburn saying black people were responsible for Kamala Harris's 2024 loss. I mean, just a joke. Blame the voters again. Blame the most reliable voting bloc for the Democratic Party, and let's see how that works out. It's just... yeah.
Term limits. Can't go upstairs, and you know what? Jim Crabbe could never.
Could never. All right, three more, and then we're going to get out of here. Kirby, please get Margot Martindale character actress to play her down the road, OMG. I mean, there's a bit of an age difference, but Margot Martindale.
Oh, yeah.
Smooth operator, AIPAC is going to ditch Haley Stevens if she wins the primary because there's no reason to continue funding her with both candidates effectively on the same side. They're trying to, it's more about making an example out of Abdul than it is about Haley Stevens.
Why, it's not even about me?
I'm sorry for my Michigan erasure there. And the final I am of the day, Pope Pax. How short is Pacman's memory? In 2016, centrist Dems and media called Bernie crazy for bringing up Medicare for All, how extremist that was, and how a lot of folks were skeptical of it. By 2020, candidates were asked about it in the primary, and at this point, only 10 years later, it's immensely popular policy amongst voters, including among independents and registered Republicans. Exposure to leftist policy leads to popularity of leftist policy, not the opposite.
I mean, I think he now is implying that it would take something like authoritarianism to get it passed.
Yep. All right, folks, with that, we're going to wrap up this episode. We will be back with you tomorrow. Thanks, everybody. See you then.
It might take all the strength I got to get to where I want, but I know somehow I'm going to get there. I wasn't looking when I just got caught between the truth and the light bulb. Finding out won't make me feel any better. Yeah, I know the clock is ticking, but the meds are gonna kick in, and my pilot light's shining bright. I guess somewhere the choice is made for the option where you don't get paid for the road that breaks you. I guess I'm